Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve.
B-Tech Smith and Steve.
You are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
The Megacast!
Megacast!
Here we are! This is an exciting day today on the Megacast.
Big day on the cast.
D. Ted Smith, how are you, my friend?
You know, feeling pretty good, Steve. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm pumped. We're going to be talking to original Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler during the Megacast.
Right. And I know you're a fan. I know you've you guys have talked to him on the morning show before. You went and saw him play.
I did go see him in Fife. I don't remember the name of the club, but it was some weird little small domed place in Fife, I think.
Dude! I have been to that place.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It's like a mini Tacoma Dome.
Yeah, and it's on a reservation.
Yeah.
So like the top floor, if I remember right, was like hookahs.
Yeah.
Then there was like a middle floor where you could look over the stage.
Yep.
And then there's like the regular floor where the stage is.
Yeah, and it's good sound. Is it called like the Mothership?
I thought it was called the something dome.
The Fife Dome?
The Fife Dome? I'm sure people will know what we're talking
tweet
about.
Tweet us at... I won't even look it up on Google. I'm going to wait until somebody tweets us this information. At the Megacast. We're on Twitter. We always love hearing from everybody. But before we do anything, before we talk to Steven Adler, and he'll probably be joining us in about like 15, 20 minutes or so.
Nice.
You know, rock star time. We'll figure it out when he gets here.
Whenever he's done eating his Lucky Charms, which is, I assume, all rock stars eat every morning.
That's the way they start their day.
I don't know. I just came up with that thought.
But we do got to get 10, and we even got a tweet about people getting 10 or getting 12. I guess we're going back to getting 10 push-ups.
Yeah, we're getting 10.
Yeah, we got to wait 6 months before we do the 12 again. But this came from our friend Katie, who listens to the Megacast, and
what
she
up,
says,
Katie?
My fitness goal. I don't know why all of a sudden she became from the South. My fitness goal. I'm Katie.
Hey, Steve. It's me, Katie.
And my fitness goal is to be able to get 10 with you guys without doing girl push-ups.
My fitness goal, y'all.
Then she says, Grace would probably call me a weak bitch. Yeah, you don't want to mess with Grace.
I forget about Grace.
The look on your face was the same look I had. I'm like, who the hell is Grace? Why is she so mean to you? It's the voice of the Megacast. Grace, the Australian robot.
Very much like Michael Bublé.
Yes. That one was still the weirdest one.
Yeah, by far.
And likes to slam me for my bad dance moves, but that's cool. It's fine, Grace. I haven't seen you dance yet. So we got to figure out what we're going to do for the push-ups. You know, we got to get 10. It's a chance for us to get our heart racing and also our brain
functioning.
And Brandon chimes in, says, how about getting 10? I don't even know this song, so I'm excited to try this one out. Let me turn it up, get it going. Let's get 10 to Bout to Bubble by Tech N9ne.
Bout to Bubble.
Perfect jam for push-ups. Hashtag get the brain functioning. So for all of you that are new to the Megacast, you have to participate. Get down on the ground, unless you're driving. Then you clench your butt for 10 seconds. That's fine.
Yeah, or get them when you get home.
Yeah.
And like Katie's saying, like her fitness goal is to get them without doing quote-unquote girl push-ups. But I mean, it's an assisted push-up. So even guy, girl, whatever, if you can't do 10, just do them that way.
Do it however you do it. And,
yeah.
And for inspiration, we always pick a different song each week. You always tweet us with a song suggestion. This week, it's Tech N9ne. Let's see how this one goes, Ted. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Dedicated to all the DJs all over the world.
All right. One for the treble, two for the bass. Come on, all right.
Let's rock. Let's get these.
Let's do this. Get 10. Place,
everybody get made. Punks better come to lady. Can't nobody tame me. Blame me. From keeping a running yard rainy. Ladies use the hate me. Now they come out of their pain. These girls on the chop shack. Pocket full of sound check. Got a fat notch check. Something goes wrong. Yeah. Down for the block. Yeah. We got the bubble, baby. Get the waterproof vest.
Brandon, great call, man.
Good call, Brandon. I'm excited. That might be my new theme song.
About to bubble.
Drinking, smoking, humping, and loving it.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Funny, we just listened to some Tech N9ne. I am not up to date or quite familiar with Tech N9ne enough.
Me neither, apparently.
No, but we like that song, and that's what the TED Talk today was about. Different stuff. Try different things. Think different things. You know what I mean? Like, your raw emotions are still going to be there. But sometimes really sit back, think about it, and don't just think how you're going to react. Think how the world will react to what you're about to do. You know, so just think a little different. Try new things. Just be different.
All right. Have you done something different recently?
Yeah. Friday night, I had an amazing dinner.
It would have been awesome if you looked at me and said, no, why would you ask? I was like, please, God, Ted, please tell me you did something different. Otherwise, I am completely effed you.
Right?
We don't pre-plan these conversations.
No. All right. So Friday night, right? I'll leave my buddy says, hey, I'm going to a show. Or Joe. You know Joe, of course.
Yeah.
So Joe and his friend are going to a show, and they're like, hey, and I said, let's get dinner beforehand, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, we're at this Aqua Bar in my neighborhood.
Okay.
I didn't really think about Aqua Bar. I just thought about this place called Aqua.
The seafood place.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of a fancy high-end seafood place.
I think it's El Gaucho's place.
Correct. Yeah, it's called Aqua by El Gaucho.
Well, then I'm glad I said that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I walk into Aqua, and I know it's going to be a little bit nicer. So I'll put on them better kicks. You know what I'm saying? So I walk into Aqua.
For your kangaroos.
Yeah. And there's nobody there. So I text Joe, like, what the hell? Where are you guys, right? Now, as I'm waiting for his text to come back, I'm looking at the menu, I'm looking around, and I just decided, I said, hell with them. I'm eating dinner here.
Okay.
So he texts me back. They're at the other they're at the Aqua Bar, not Aqua.
What's the Aqua Bar then?
You know what? It's a bar in my neighborhood. I've been once.
Okay.
So I haven't even gone, really. It's one of those places, I won't lie, like, it never looks that crowded. I'm always kind of surprised. Like, I'm just like, all right. So I was at the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Either way. So I ordered 6 oysters. Nice. And then I got a Caesar salad. Then I ordered some dinner. So, like, as I'm sitting there by myself, I now realize it's just going to be a solo dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I just consciously, I put my phone away and I said, you know what? The hell with them. A little pricey, but I'm going to sit here and enjoy a nice dinner. Well, by the end of dinner, I look like the coolest guy in the bar. The piano player is playing like I'm kind of sitting there like, I think I know this song. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's Everlong. He's playing Everlong by Foo Fighters.
What?
Then there was like an AC/DC song. So by the time he gets to Nirvana and he's playing Nevermind, I'm like, am I losing my mind here? And then one of the managers is like, hey, Ted, thanks for coming in. Like,
what?
It was awesome. So then I talked to the piano player. Ben was his name. Nice guy.
So he knew who you were, too.
Yeah. He comes over.
So they completely just changed their dynamic of what they do there because Ted's in the house.
Not totally true.
Okay.
I think the guy usually, like, he plays it that cool on the piano. Like, you have to be, like, kind of a either music nerd or work at a music station to pick up on it.
Right.
But just super nice. And then the crazy thing is, Steve, as I'm talking to Ben, the piano guy, he's like, he's still playing. He's just, well, you know, I've been a bit fan of the Men's Room and KSW for years. Just chit-chat. It was unbelievable.
Man, I wish I could tickle the ivories like that.
I know. I think I might try to get him to teach me. Anyhow, the whole thing was, I just sat there and said, you know what? Like, I'm just going to sit here by myself and just try to enjoy this dinner and just, I don't know, just felt like something I wanted to do. Like, just have a dinner by myself. Then by the end of it, I'm doing shots of tequila. Like, I got some bread pudding. And
yeah.
It was, and not to mention, the food was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, geez, yeah, El Gaucho, you can't go wrong with their food, and I can only imagine seafood style is even better.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really eating much steak and that kind of El Gaucho type fare. To go to a seafood version would be killer.
Yeah, it was real good.
Damn,
and I was,
dude.
Yeah, I was that guy.
I like eating by myself. Like, I mean, people get, mostly I think women more than dudes, but there are dudes out there that I think freak out about it as well, but I've never been opposed to going to like Trappers and sitting at the sushi bar by myself and just doing like the all you can eat and just chilling out, maybe playing my phone. See, you took it a whole nother step further, which I think is maybe even more intimidating because when you have your phone, you can still be by yourself, but you kind of feel like you're with people because you're just on your phone. You might be tweeting some people or reading some stuff. When you put the phone away, then it's just you, your meal, and that's it.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Like, just a guy out enjoying his dinner. And, like, granted, the view is great. It's right there on the pier.
Uh-huh.
It's a cool view of the city. So then it was funny, like, one of the managers, I was talking to him, Joe, real nice guy, and he's like, yeah, this guy. I go, well, let me ask you a question. What you think? Just I'm just sitting there by myself having dinner. He's like, well, I don't know, seemed like you were enjoying your dinner, just kind of hanging out.
Nice.
Like, all right, cool. Yeah. It just kind of, now obviously it helps that I work at a super popular radio station like KSW.
Well, that made it less, I guess it broke the ice quicker.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, even if you're just a regular dude eating, you know, that doesn't have a job where people might know who you are, and you're eating at a restaurant, as long as you're a likable, friendly guy, you'll still hit it off probably with the piano guy. You'll still probably hit it off with the waiter and the manager. They just won't be as excited to talk to you, but they'll be like, ah, he's a nice guy, that Ted guy.
Yeah. Trust me, I was already going to tip the piano player.
Yeah.
And then when I found out he actually was a fan, too, I was like, that's crazy.
That's crazy that both of us, and we'll have to get to it after the Adler interview.
Yeah.
Because it's a longer story than probably what we have time for. But my experience over the weekend, also doing something out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Involving a piano player, as well, actually three piano players.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just thought about that. I know we're going to talk about that in the last segment, but yeah, it was a piano weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I did that Friday. Saturday, had a couple people over the house. I guess that's not that. Oh, you know, it was a little bit different. I made moose sausage.
Oh, from the moose meat you had.
Yeah.
How was that?
You know, quite delicious.
Really?
The moose sausage, well...
Now, you said you made it. Was it already made for you?
Sausage was already made.
Okay,
I just defrosted it the night before.
Gotcha.
And then cooked it up.
Have you had moose burger?
Not yet, but it's in my freezer.
Oh, you have to let me know when you're having moose burger.
A moose burger?
Yes.
All right.
I've been wanting a moose burger ever since Palin introduced it to us.
Are you serious?
Ever since she talked about moose burgers. I'm like, what does a moose burger taste like? It sounds like it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I got like 6 pounds of moose burger.
Ah. Well, I can't really do it at home because I have that vegan that I also call my wife.
That vegan?
What are you, one of those vegans? Or she hates it when someone says, she's a vegan. She's like, it's not like a culture. I mean, maybe it is for some, but not for her. She's like, I'm vegan. I'm a vegan. Like, I was like, I don't know what's the difference, but apparently it's a problem.
I never thought about that. Yeah. I would call everybody a vegan.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a big deal. She just thinks it makes it sound like she's like an outcast or the scourge of society. Like, hey, I'm bringing a vegan with me.
Well, I mean, it is kind of a heads up you got to give people.
Well, I tell her that, too. And, like, we're going to one of our buddies, Zach, from the Donkeys. He's getting married.
Oh, nice.
Right. So at the end of the month, we're going.
Poor woman. I'm just messing with you, Zach.
And you know, they send, hey, what would you like to eat? And they give you a couple of options to check off with the invite. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm going to do the fish, whatever it is. And I'm like, do you want me to write down that you're vegan? And my wife's like, no, I don't want to be, like, she's worried like it's going to cause like a big problem. I'm like, well, if they don't know, they can't prepare for it. Like, is it that big of a deal if I handwrite it down and say, hey, my guest is vegan or a vegan, as I would have said it, but I don't know.
I probably would have just said my wife, not my guest.
Yeah, I guess I'm not really doing this all that well.
My guest is a vegan.
My plus one. It's one of those vegans.
I like it sometimes. Like, you've never done this to me, so I don't think you care.
Right.
But I've definitely referred to people's like girls, like, oh, yeah, you're going to bring your girl? Like, you mean my wife? Like, oh, yeah, all right, your wife.
No, I was wondering if you're bringing your mistress.
You know? I was like, sorry, man.
Yeah, why are they correcting you about that? She's still your girl.
I don't know, man. Sometimes people get all upset if you don't. And look, I get it. It's your wife. So if you're married, it's super important. Mm-hmm. Or they're your kids. Excuse me. But sometimes people get a little upset, you know, like, come on, man, I have like 3 kids or this and that. I'll be like, come on, dude. I have like 2 podcasts. You don't listen to any of them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's important stuff to me in my life, too. But like, I don't ram it down your throat. Sorry, I forgot you 2 got married. Point is, your girl is coming, correct?
I love that Ted just compared somebody's children to the podcast.
To the Megacast. So, it's important to me, Steve.
What would we be like? I guess we would be the younger brother because the podcast has been around a little bit longer.
Yeah, you're right.
Nice.
They always love the younger brother.
They always love the youngest better.
Steve, I know this. We both do.
I do, too. So awesome.
Shout out to Dan, Uncle Phil, Kelly, all the youngest Smiths locking it down.
Represent.
Where's this segment going?
I don't know. I was going to read a tweet, but I don't even know if we have time. Oh, a couple quick tweets about our last week's show where we talked about my incident with David Beckham where I winked at him at the Super Bowl.
Winking it back.
Northwest Moonshiner said, the David Beckham story is epic. I laughed so hard I had tears and I had to pull my truck over to avoid getting into an accident.
I love that. A guy driving a pickup truck in the Northwest is moved to tears and laughter because of you winking at the biggest soccer star in the world.
It's great. And then Billy says, I think winking is very Northwest. Most Northwesterners that I know wink with that clicking sound. So there you go.
Yeah, I've met Billy. Maybe you two are just creeps.
All right, we got Steven Adler coming up. Let's take a quick break, Ted. The original drummer of Guns N' Roses will be joining us.
Nice.
After this on the Megacast.
I like this song. It's trippy. Makes me wish I had some mushrooms. The Megacast will be back.
Trust. It's a thing that you build slowly, over time. It can happen during the big moments, but more often, it's the day-to-day things. Like telling 20 million people that you were in a helicopter which was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. And then taking it back by saying you made a mistake. As if you just left out some punctuation or misspelled a word. Trust. It's hard to get, and even harder to get back. Brian Williams. He's been there. At least, that's what he says. 10 years with the NBC Nightly News. But strangely, we don't seem to have any record of it.
Step up in this beat with my shades on. All I see is bands. I got my rays on. Call me Mr. Rolex, Rolex, game so strong. They call me Bowflex, Bowflex, 20,000 square feet, my crib way out. BK Barclay, I brought J Hours.
It's all about the money. It's all about the, money. It's all about the, money.
It's all about the mother money and the Megacast. D-Tech Smith and Steve are back.
Wow. So aggressive.
Yeah, I get why Katie's a little worried about Grace and how she feels about her doing her push-ups.
Yeah, and I'd say, Katie, any other female listeners of the Megacast, Grace does that to every female.
Right.
She intimidates a lot of women.
She's just an epitome of a mean girl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, look, we have our thoughts on Grace. I don't know if I'd ever call her a great person, though.
No. She's just cheap and easy.
Yeah, she's a hot party chick.
Yeah. Who is willing to lend her voice to our podcast.
Exactly, from down under.
Looks like the phone's ringing, Ted. How about that?
Boom.
Rockstar calling on time. Let's do this.
Yeah, it rarely happens.
Hey, Steven, you're talking to Steve and Ted in Seattle.
Steve, Ted, how are you guys?
Oh, man.
Good.
Great now.
Wonderful. Steve, me too. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, I mean, last time I talked to you, you came in studio, and then I went and saw you play in Fife with your band, and was my wife and I were blown away. I think she still has a rock star crush on you after that performance.
Why don't you one of the guy people who brought me lasagna?
No, but
your wife didn't bring me lasagna. You sure your wife didn't bring me lasagna? That was so good.
He would have remembered you, Steve.
I remember coming to the station and asking people to bring me food because I was starving because we didn't eat good on the road. I needed a home-cooked meal.
If my wife brought you lasagna, her and I are going to have a talk tonight because I do not know about this.
She only makes lasagna for rock stars.
That's right. She never makes me
lasagna.
Next time
I get there.
She
doesn't make it for you, but she makes it for. Well, as I say, it's good to be king.
Yeah. Ted and I were just talking before you called in, and just marveling at how cool of an idea this art project is that you've got going on. And I was trying to explain
it
to him, but I was hoping you could explain it because I'm a drummer as well, and it feels like you just had some like I don't know, you could describe it, but it just, like, as a drummer, I was like, oh, I'm feeling this art because it feels like it's done while you're drumming.
And I am doing it. What I basically did, I'm the artist and the canvas. I played every song off of Appetite for Destruction. So each print is a version of each song for the record. And you know how when you hear a song, how great it makes you feel?
Yes.
Well, this, now you're able to see what you're feeling. The lasers bring out the emotion in my playing that gives you that feeling that makes you feel so great and wants to rock out.
Who gets to watch this art as it's being made? That's got to be trippy to see you with lasers on your drumsticks.
Well, actually, my mom came, my wife came, Ravinder Pilsen came, Olivia Pilsen came.
Oh, man, that's so cool. And I mean, and go to StephenAdlerArt.com just to get a taste of it. I mean, I can only imagine in person this is just even more insane to look at. But on the website,
yes, it is.
It's trippy as all hell, man.
And nobody's ever seen what emotion looks like and what feelings look like. And in the 21st century, we're able to, you know, take lasers and get that emotion out and those feelings out. And it's incredible. And it's so cool being a part of it. Especially, you know, it's all Appetite for Destruction. And that record, not just because I'm playing on it, but out of all the records I've heard my whole life, that's probably the top three most feeling record. Yeah.
And
even if I didn't play on it I heard it, I'd say, hell, that's a lot of feeling on that.
Steve, I know you're being very humble, but as a drummer and as a fan of your drumming, I'm going to say the reason why that album has such great feeling is the swing that you bring to it as a drummer.
Thank you. I am a swinger.
Anything for lasagna, right, Steven?
Oh, anything.
Hey,
I'll swing for food.
Man, that could get scary.
That could be like a whole new art project right there.
That's next. I like that. That's next. We'll take lasers into the bedroom
while listening to Appetite.
Some of those songs when you play them, Steven, and you, is it weird feeling the emotion sober now as opposed to when you guys wrote them and you were on substances?
Well, I wasn't. I mean, back in the day, I wasn't on the substances like the coke and the heroin and stuff. I would drink a few beers, a couple Long Island Ices when I would go out to clubs with the band, but I was just a real pot smoker.
Right.
I was always a little hippie love boy.
Hey, and so is it?
It was funny. I heard somebody mention in some interview that I got hooked up with the wrong crowd. I did, but I think I love those guys.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been.
They were the wrong crowd, but they were great people.
And sometimes it needs that kind of weird dynamics to make great music.
Yeah, but it just worked. Five separate individuals. Five separate personalities and influences, and it just worked. I mean, even our worst shows were great.
Do you have an example of what was you would constitute as one of the worst shows for Guns N' Roses?
The two times I did coke before I went on stage.
Oh man, I can't.
Oh, it was terrible. When I did do coke at the end there, it was always after the show, never before. And I did it twice. I don't know how I or why I did it the second time, but the first was I was up there playing, and there was like 20,000 people looking at me, and all I kept thinking was, they all know I'm on coke. They all know I'm high. I played Sweet Child of Mine. I couldn't wait to get the hell off stage. I was, Sweet Child of Mine. Oh, Sweet Child. Let's go.
I was saying, did you turn it into a punk song, probably?
Yeah. I was like, let's go. I can't be up here. Everybody's staring at me, which, of course, you're supposed to.
Right.
That sounds a bit like a nightmare, though.
It was. So I don't recommend that to anybody.
We're talking with Steven Adler again. He's got some awesome artwork now available at StephenAdlerArt.com. People could check it out. You know, it's been a few years since we talked to you, and it was before Guns N' Roses being inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I looked back and remembered watching that, and I think every Guns N' Roses fan probably had a smile from ear to ear watching you play the drums again with the fellas. But I've never had a chance to talk to you since then. I was wondering, what was that experience like? I mean, I know Axl didn't show up, but you got a great guy to stand in with, Miles Kennedy. But what was that like for you?
Well, it was phenomenal, but also Izzy didn't show up.
Yeah.
And that was it. That part was a drag because, you know, we were all inducted there, and out of respect for the fans inducting us, I think they should have showed up. But, you know, they have their reasons. I'm not a part of their life, so I don't know what it was. But for me, I was the happiest kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
I had all these huge, you know, musicians and actors and everything right in the front row that I was playing for. We're holy moly. I'm looking down at Michael J. Fox and Ron Wood. They were like right in front of me. I'm going, holy moly, that's Back to the Future guy and Rolling Stones guy. I thought, this is, and they were looking right at me. I'm going, well, they know who I am now. This is cool.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Steven, you were saying earlier that you've been clean for over a year now. What's like, just out of curiosity, what's like your vice? Is it like ice cream? I don't know. Is it cookies? Is there something like you go for?
The friggin' cigarettes.
Oh, cigarettes.
I hate smoking, but everybody at my home group, my AA home group, they said, well, you know, they're all one thing at a time. Don't rush with the cigarettes. And it's worse than heroin or crack. Okay, I was able to stop heroin and crack in 2008 when I worked with Dr. Drew. But the dang cigarettes, what a pain in the tuchus. I'm telling you right now.
And
anybody who doesn't smoke, don't ever start.
It is crazy to think that people now still start smoking now that we hear these kind of stories. What kind of dog do you have?
That's my dog. That's Cosmo, the boy. On the radio.
What kind of dog is it?
I got four dogs. I got a Shadow. I have two Chihuahuas and a pug and a half pug, half wiener dog.
Half pug, half wiener dog.
Chi-Chi LaRue and my boy Cosmo.
Oh man,
boy!
Hey, Steven, I know.
I love my doggies.
Oh, dude.
Dogs are great.
I love my dog. I love my wife, but I love my dogs.
My wife and I have both agreed that our dog takes number one on the food chain of our family household. Like, the dog is number
one. That's right. Yeah, well, I got four of them, and they all run the house. I have no say in anything.
Hey,
guys, I hate to interrupt, but we got to move on.
Okay. We'll let you go, Steven.
What the heck was that?
I know.
Where did that come from?
That was the voice of God.
The voice of God is chiming in.
The voice of God.
Sounds different than I expected.
I expected more echo from
I
God.
To go.
Steven, we'll let you go, but StevenAdlerArt.com. If you're a GNR fan, or if you're a drummer, or if you're just a fan of really cool, different visuals, I think you got to check out his website, check out his art. It's been an honor getting to talk to you, man.
Thanks. And hey, guys, try and play a song off my album, Adler Back from the Dead. I know you guys are going to love it.
Oh,
I did it just like we did Appetite. It's all live in the studio.
I've got Back from the Dead and also Just Don't Ask, which features Slash on it. We're going to play them.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon. And I can't wait to run into see you guys when I get out to Seattle this year.
Yeah, you have to come hang out with us in studio. We'll bring lasagna.
Oh, yes. Now you got me. I'm there.
All right. We'll let you go. We don't want God getting mad at us.
God, thank you. All right, thank you, guys. Have a great
day.
Thank you, guys. Yeah,
see you later.
See you, brother. All right, yeah, let's check out a little bit of Steven Adler's song. Wait, before we get to the song, how great was he?
That's awesome. He said, who is that? Well, because you know what? Like, Steve and I are used to, like, the guy calling and saying, like, hurry it up. But I like his reaction, too. It was like, what is that? I'm having fun.
He's like, who's his voice? And I love how I was about to say, I think that's the voice of God. And the guy's like, it's the voice of God. So here's Adler. That's the name of the band.
Boom.
Let's check it out. Steven Adler and his merry band of misfits.
Who else is in it?
I have no idea.
From the dead, I got no regrets.
sounds great.
That's him?
That's him on the drums, man.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were saying that's him singing, too. No. I was like, damn, he's doing it all in this band? Yeah, the drums clearly drive that band.
Yeah. All right, so that's Back from the Dead.
Steve, let me ask you, you're a drummer.
Yes.
As you get older, do you drum different?
You know, for me, I think for most drummers, they probably wouldn't admit to this, but I feel like I've gotten a lot less adventurous in my drumming style.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, I listen back to, like, my old band's early records, and I'm like, yeah, I was really sloppy at points, but I was at least trying. Like, I was reaching for the gold.
All right.
Now I'm, like, content with bronze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sit in the bronze zone.
Yeah.
That'd be the best bronze drummer there is.
So here's a little bit of a clip from the Adler song, Just Don't Ask, and this features Slash. I figured it'd be fun to play just so we could hear Slash rocking the guitar solo with Steven Adler once again. Now you Ted's response. This is Ted's response to the solo so far.
I can feel it, man.
Drums, Ted. Cool sounding stuff from Adler right there.
Yeah, I feel like if Adler and Slash were my buddies, I would just give them guitars and like we'd just find a room where they could play drums and guitars.
Oh.
And I'd just sit there and maybe pop a couple beers.
I know. There's a part of me, and I didn't ask because I was like, he's a clean and sober guy, but I'm like, man, you could take that and do like the rave circuit, and that would be a huge hit. Just playing along to Appetite with the laser drumsticks?
Yes, that's why I asked him. Who gets to see that? Right. That sounds like it would be phenomenal to see in person.
They need to hire him for Summer Meltdown.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Right?
You could watch Steven Adler, and then in between the sets, you can come over and get a hug from either Steve or I.
Yes. And eat lasagna with us.
And eat lasagna.
Unless you're not hungry.
Unless you're right.
Because sometimes you're not hungry in those situations. Right.
You've been staring at lasers for 3 hours. Now I bet you're famished, aren't you?
Nobody works up an appetite watching lasers.
Never.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Huge thanks to Steven Adler again for joining the MegaCast.
That was awesome.
Another great celebrity that's been a part of the MegaCast family.
Interview after interview.
Knocking them out of the park. Ted and Steve. We'll be back.
It's beyond me to think you would go anywhere. The MegaCast will be back.
That you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see. It's way beyond me.
Hello, this is Liam Neeson, and Valentine's Day is just about here once again, and for as long as I can remember, it has always been a very bittersweet time for me. I'm deeply romantic, and believe in the power of true love, and sometimes I dream of frolicking in a field full of buttercups, like I'm in a Massengill douche commercial. The rampant commercialism of this holiday has blackened my heart, which used to be so pitter-pattery. So my advice to you is this. If you're a middle-aged man who's trying to sell $80 long-stem roses out of a dirty spackle bucket at a Texaco gas station, think again, because I will close down your little clip joint. But not before I take that pea-stained giant teddy bear you've been trying to unload for $40 since last year.
Oh, great. Here is another country song. where the dude sounds creepy. The Megacast is back.
Your lips, your eyes, girl, since you told me goodbye. I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything. No, I can't close my eyes without you in my dreams. You won't leave me alone, even though I know you're gone. I look around for someone new, but I see you.
That guy needs to get over it.
It's all these country artists, man. Grace is right. They need to just let these women go.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I get it hurts, but Jesus, man.
That's the difference of a country artist and a rock artist. If it was a rock artist, it's Buck Cherry singing Crazy Bitch.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, something about strippers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Country guys, come on, man.
It's like, I don't blame country guy for making it, but like... Look, man, if you broke up with this girl over a year ago or whatever, just move on.
Yeah, stop saying that you see her.
Yeah.
That's when restraining orders get involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? I just see her and every girl I look at. Well, that's freaking creepy.
Yeah. Good luck to every other girl you go out on a date with.
Right.
You remind me of the girl I wrote a hit song about. Would you like to hear it?
Right. She'll never measure up. Yeah. Probably nobody will. Yeah, enjoy that life of despair and depression.
Megacast is back. Steve Ted Smith over there, everybody. I'm Steve. And so I
don't think the guy that wrote that song has been listening to the TED Talks.
No, he needs to.
Yeah.
He'll learn something. I think everybody needs to listen to a TED Talk from here on out.
Yeah, no kidding.
You earlier talked about your experience where you were at Aqua, the El Gaucho bar.
Having dinner by myself.
With the piano guy.
Yeah, it turned into an awesome night.
So I was like, this is weird because you had a great weekend experience involving a guy that plays the piano, and as did I. On Saturday night, my wife's family, they just sold their business, like her uncles. And so the people, this is always a great sign of a good boss, I think, is that everybody who worked for them decided to throw a big party to celebrate that they sold it, to thank them, and a last chance for everybody to get together and kind of say, hey, we appreciate what you did for us.
Yeah.
So where did they choose for us to go is Keys on Main, which is a piano dueling piano bar. There's one in Seattle at the old Chopsticks. Remember in Queen Anne?
Yeah. I've been in there.
Okay, so I went to the one in Tacoma on Pacific Avenue, and I haven't been to a piano bar in, sheesh, forever. Last time was a Chopsticks in Tacoma that's now no longer there.
All right.
And so I'm like, oh, we're going to a piano bar. I always think I'm not going to have fun at a piano bar until I'm in the piano bar, and then I have the time of my life.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. I've always had a good time.
I'm thinking like maybe one of these times we might need to do like a Megacast party. Like, let's just all go hang out at a piano bar and just drink beers and convince them to play songs for us.
And there's always groups of random chicks at piano bars.
There was a bachelorette party.
Always.
There was, I counted six birthday parties, but there were probably more, but there were six that were willing to encourage the piano player to tip them enough money to bring their birthday party girl up on the stage.
Yeah.
And have them sing a completely inappropriate song.
Yeah.
So
chicks love a piano bar.
Oh, dude. And there's and the girls that work there are smoking hot.
Nice.
Yeah, Ted, I'm telling you, this is the place to be.
All right.
Keys on Main. So we get in there. There's a line outside the door. So I'm already like, oh, I'm not into going to places where there's lines. Like, if a bar has a line, typically I don't want to go to it. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
But it was just mainly a line because people had to pay their cover, and it was going slow. So fortunately, we get in within like 5 minutes.
All right.
We post up. They reserve the two front tables, basically, like these two long tables right in front of the piano bar players. And these two guys not only are great piano players, but they're like full-on entertainers, like stand-up comics.
100%.
And one of the guys is just like, yeah, you know, this kind of request, and he shows a piece of paper with the song written on it. He goes, I'll consider it. It might get played. I'll put it down on my, and if I like the song, I might get to it. But this kind of request gets played, and it's the same sheet of paper with a $20 bill under it. Ted, these guys, by the end of the night, and we were there from about 8:30 to about midnight.
All right.
They have these two giant jugs, about, I'd say one was filled with 20s. And the other one was about halfway full with 20s. Maybe some ones in there as well. Also a few $100 bills as well. Like people, and these guys were geniuses. They not only said, hey, come on in, request a song, we'll play it. And if you don't like the song we're playing, if you add one more dollar to the amount, we'll stop playing that song. So he starts doing a Taylor Swift song. And he's like, the other guy wasn't feeling it. Like, there was one guy that was kind of like a pop guy, and the other guy was kind of like a rock guy.
All
right. The rock piano player's like, look, for $21, we can end our misery right now. And some dude that's like, just looks like a guy that probably loves rock music, just walks on up there, slams down the $21. He slams down on the piano and ends it.
All right. I like awesome. That.
Yeah, it was fun. It made it more. And then somebody else then paid another $50 to get him to play the Taylor Swift song again. So I'm like, that's a $70, actually $91.
For, I bet, and then the Taylor Swift song still got played.
Of course. And at one point, they had three piano players so they could rotate. At one point, they're doing Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. And the other piano player comes out of nowhere with a wireless electric guitar and just jumps on top of the pianos and just does the solo.
Damn.
Dude, everything about it was freaking awesome. Then whenever they had like a rap song, they had a drum machine. So when they did like Baby Got Back or Ice Ice Baby, they just hit the drum machine. They just on the mic just rapping. It was hilarious, dude.
That's unbelievable. And they're doing that every weekend night?
I think every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the other thing that was cool is whoever's singing the song, because you got the two piano players, while that guy's singing, I don't know what kind of pianos they had. They clearly weren't old school pianos. Like, they look like old school pianos, but they must have been like key, like electronic inside of it, because they would must have hit like a button and the other piano player was playing the drums using the keys for the drums. So he knew how to hit the hi-hat, the snare, and the bass. So you're at a piano bar and there's drums.
That's insane.
It added so much to it. So you had all these things. And, oh, this was awesome. So they have this big screen. Like,
how was the vegan doing?
Oh, the vegan was loving it. She loved it. It was a blast. It was a trip, though, because we were all there with family and all their friends. So, you know, Sid's mom and dad are there. Sid's grandma and grandpa are there. Oh, that was great. I have a video. I'm going to show it to you. I know it's going to look... You might want to come over here for a second just to look at it, because it's so funny, and I can't put it in the... So they decided to do Baby Got Back. While they're doing Baby Got Back, all these girls jump up on the stage and start dancing. The first seat towards the stage is Sid's grandma. Look at her face. She looks miserable. This girl is shaking her ass.
That girl is shaking her butt right in front of the grandma.
Right. And she looks terrified. Like someone is like, here's some anthrax. Here, smell it. Smell it.
And that girl's not shaking her butt like, hey, I'm going to shake it a little bit. That girl's feeling it.
Full on booty popping it.
Yes.
I am dying. So we all film it. We're all laughing. She's like, I hate you guys. I need to get... Like, it was funny, dude. It was a good time. But the highlight of the whole experience was the coworkers all decided, hey, we want to play a song for my wife's uncles, Greg and Todd, and as a way of saying, hey, thank you. And so they're trying to figure out what song. So they come to me like, hey, you're on the radio. What song? I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what song do I want to hear? So I go, I don't know. I think Eye of the Tiger, the Survivor, you know, the Rocky theme song would be perfect.
Wait a minute, as a thank you?
Yes.
I mean, I get it. I'm at a piano bar. I'd want to hear Eye of the Tiger, too. But right. I'm kind of thrown off like, oh, a perfect thank you song. Eye of the Tiger, the Rocky soundtrack.
And so did they go with that?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so they're playing it, and the place goes nuts for it at first. Like, once they hear the dent, 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 and everyone's like, yeah! So they were all pumped about that. So then Greg and Todd come to me, and they're like, hey, we want to play a song for them as a way of thanking them for being... Right.
Why are you the go-to?
Because nobody else was willing to come up with something. Everyone knows, like, either A, too drunk, or B, I don't know. So I'm like...
You got to pick songs. You're playing Santa Claus. Sounds like you're keeping this family together.
I am. I'm the glue.
You're the glue.
That's right.
You're the straw that stirs the drink.
So now I'm like, oh boy, I don't know what song to go with for this. So I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, what is the most, like,
what other song does Steve love?
That, and this time I'm thinking, what is like the A number one? Everyone's going to go nuts if they hear it.
Journey?
Don't Stop Believing.
Boom!
And that's what I wrote down. They give the guy $100 to play it next.
All right.
So and then I was like, oh, this is so awesome. How's this going to go? And they're like, hey, this is from Greg and Todd for all the workers. Thank you for being great people and for giving us a great night. And they start that song up, and it's like, oh. Now, one of the guys who they work with is a big fan of the station. He comes over to me, and he's S-bombed. He's the guy that's going around to everybody, just wasted, hugging everybody.
He's loving it. He's loving it.
Right, and he's got the arms wide open hug, like, oh, come on, get over here. Like, you know, fully stretched out, wearing a Cougars jersey, which made it even cooler.
All right, I gotta ask, how was the hug?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a good hug.
So then he comes over to me, and he wants to tell me how he's a big fan of the show, but he's so wasted he can't speak, and he wants to yell it in my ear, so he cups his fingers, like, you know, over his mouth, and he's like, Steve! BJ Shea! And I go, yeah. He leaves then, and he's yelling for a good, like, 3 minutes in my ear, and I'm like, I'm going deaf. Then Sid's uncle's
the music's
like,
loud, you're just right. Nodding.
They're dying because they're like, this guy doesn't speak at work. He's the quietest guy. He just does his job and goes home. And he's very slow, he's very nice, but like he just kind of meanders around and does what he needs to do and leaves. They're like, what did he say to you? And I go, I have no idea. And they just start dying. Now this song starts playing. And everyone's like, ah, Don't Stop Believing. Awesome, right? He's like so excited that he wants to come over, as I drool, he wants to come over to somebody else to give him a hug. So he steps on the stage, but doesn't get a firm footing on the stage. I'm not even kidding. Just tips over and knocks over the entire table and drinks.
Oh, wait a minute. Like crashing through the table?
Like full on timber. Glasses are breaking. I'm no production whiz, but in a nutshell, it sounded like this, Ted. So everything's cool. Everybody's like, yes! We love this song. Oh, man, they're playing our song.
This is us.
Cougar's Jersey guy. It's our song. And he goes like, yeah. He starts walking over.
Just a small town girl.
And that's when it happened.
Do they keep singing?
They keep singing.
Oh.
The bouncers show up. I mean, they lift them up and just drag them out of there. And I kind of felt bad. Like, you know, bouncers are just, they need to get things done and done quick. But it's like, he's not hurting anybody. I get kicking him out. But I feel like you could have just said, hey, dum-dum, you just knocked over a bunch of drinks. You got to leave. He would have left.
He crashes through the table.
Yes.
Or on the table. Does he hop back up, or does he just got to lay there?
No, they had to pick him up.
Oh.
It was awful.
And this is the final night. Like, they've sold the business. Yes. He's usually quiet. Man, my thoughts on this have gone from, they have no idea what this guy's like outside of work, to like, oh, God, he doesn't usually get this messed up.
Right.
He was really feeling it.
He was. I felt awful. I guess the only good part of all of it, he was so S-bombed, it probably was the best time for him to leave anyway.
What are the other people around you guys saying?
We're all in tears.
Just
like,
laughing.
Like, and one guy goes, it's so fitting that he has a Cougars jersey on while this is going on.
Yeah, he cooged it bad.
Dude, it was awesome. Awesome. I had the time of my life, though, and it was great because once Sid's mom and dad and grandma and grandpa left, then it was like, because Sid won't drink around them.
All right.
Yeah, I get it. As soon as they were gone, I'm like, do you want a drink? And she's like, yeah, I kind of do now.
Yeah, I watched a drunk guy fall through the table or fall on the table.
So we order, I get a Coors Light, she gets a vodka tonic, drinks come over. Well, her aunts and uncle that were still there have never seen her have a drink in their life. So when the drinks show up and they see me with a beer, it was like this moment of like, we all, like, it was almost like they had a newfound respect for Sid because they're like, oh, you're not as straight-laced as we thought. You know what I mean? Because everyone's
so
super straight-laced around mom, dad, and grandpa and grandma, you know, because it's just how it is.
Yeah, they're all acting for each other.
Right, so everyone's being on their best behavior. No one's drinking during Christmas. Then they see me with a beer, and I'm seeing them doing, like, Jaeger bombs and other shots. Like, their employees are just, their goal was to get these guys just
hammered.
Hammered. And so I'm like, I already love these guys. You know, they're family to me. They treat me great. But it's like, it's almost like you have a newfound respect. And it's sad to say because of alcohol, but it's almost like, oh, okay, they let loose too. Because you don't know. Because, you know, they got to be parents. They got to be adults, business owners. It was nice to see them in an environment where, like, you and I would be like, oh, let's just chug some beers and have fun.
Yeah.
And as we were leaving, one of them was just like, you're leaving? You only had one beer. And I look at him and I go, I know. And he's like, he just starts laughing. He's like, I know what you mean. It was a great time. It was like one of those cool family bonding moments. And the highlight was clearly the Cougar guy who...
All right, has anybody talked to Cougar guy on Saturday or Sunday?
I don't know, man. The business is done, so maybe. But they showed us this little video that they put together for all the workers, of highlights and pictures. And we watched it on Sunday night. We went over to their house to watch it. And every time he showed up on the screen, I'm like, oh, Cougar guy! And they all start laughing. It was like the much-needed laughs for an emotional time because you could tell they're like kind of happy they're selling because it's a great opportunity to sell a business and for good money. But it's sad also because there's a lot of history to it.
Sure.
It's a family business. So it was kind of a bittersweet experience, but... Props to the coworkers for doing something as cool as what they did.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That speaks to them as business owners, too, if the employees were like, let us take you out.
Right, and get you drunk and get songs played for you. I mean, it was cool. It was I kind of think back. I'm like, I hope that like if I'm ever in a position where I'm in charge of a company or in charge of a large group of people, that they would do something like that for me.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like they did it just out of obligation or felt obligation.
Right. You know? No, not at all. I mean,
that's cool.
At that point, you don't need to kiss their ass.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. The company's already gone.
If anything, this is the perfect time to flip them off.
Let them know what you really think.
Yeah. And if what you really think is, hey, we want to show you a good time, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And obviously, Cougar guy really thought they needed hugs.
He thought everybody needed a hug.
Cougar guy.
Oh, man, Ted, I honestly was thinking about filming the song. I was like, oh, I'll film it because it'd be funny to put up on like KSW's website or, you know, one of those things for social media.
Yeah.
And I decided, no, I shouldn't. I don't know everybody here. I don't want to put that up there and show everybody hugging. You know, I don't know them, but I wish I filmed that. It would have trumped grandma getting someone's ass shaken in front of her.
I'm pretty impressed with the ass shaking that girl was doing still.
Oh, it goes on for like a good 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's classic. All right, Ted, this just flew by, man.
Yeah, all right. There we go. We got one done again.
Next week, we will be doing a Wednesday episode. Wednesday night, because President's Day, your show is on. Our show. We respect our presidents.
Oh, harsh. Damn.
Why you got to hate Washington and Lincoln, man?
You know what, man? I got a lot of reasons why I don't like those dudes. You know, I'm glad you finally asked me.
All right, well, you know what the best part about ending this episode, Ted, is?
Getting 10 more?
Getting 10 more to Tech 9.
Tech 9, something different.
The world, man.
Yes, do something different.
In the place, everybody getting mani. Punks better come your lady, can't nobody tame me. Blame me for keeping a runny yacht rainy. Ladies used to hate me, now they come out of their pain. These girls on the chop shack, pocket full of sock shack. Got a fat notch shack, something gon' squat. Yeah. Down for the block, yeah. We got the bubble, baby, get the waterproof vest.
That's great.
I love this song.
About to bubble, baby.
Hey, big thanks to Steven Adler for joining us on the MegaCast.
Yeah, great interview. I say that to Steve because I felt like Steve did most of the talking.
You did a great job.
Yeah, I think I asked a question.
All right, Ted. Drinking, smoking, and humping.
Bubble.